On behalf of the Professional Baseball Strength and Conditioning Coaches Society, I'd like to welcome you to the PBSCCS podcast. I'm your host, Chris Messina. All right, everybody, I'm here with Ryan Madel of the Toronto Blue Jays organization. Ryan, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate your time. Tell the listeners about yourself, if you would, please.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Chris. Ryan Madel from Windsor, Ontario, Canada, going into my sixth season with the Blue Jays. And I'll be in New Hampshire, AA affiliate in Manchester.
All right, so you'll be in Manchester. I'll be seeing you a lot this season. We'll be catching up quite a bit on a lot of different things. But one of the big reasons I wanted to have you on is you worked the MLB International Program. You and I actually both did some grad work at Salisbury University, and when I was there, Matt Nine had told me that you were in baseball and you were working in Europe. And I thought that was the coolest thing. And I was like, all right, when I get in baseball, I need to, number one, talk to this guy, and number two, get over to Europe. So I'm getting the first one knocked out today, getting a conversation with you. Maybe someday I'll get to Europe. But we'll start with that, how you got involved with the MLB International, and then we'll go kind of what your role was, and we'll go from there.
Okay. Yeah, I think it was just kind of weird how it all shook out. I just finished my first season with the Blue Jays in GCL, and my boss, Donovan Santis, came to me and asked me if I was interested in coaching in Europe. And at first I thought he was kidding. And, who's going to send me to Europe? You're going to send me to Europe and you're going to pay me to work in Europe? I said, sign me up. So it was a big joke at the time. But, yeah, you know, it everything shook out as planned. And there was a handful of coaches that are still in baseball now, Scott Weberg, Pat Trainer, Brad Hyde, Rob Fumagalli, that were all in Europe at the same time I was. So we all basically met up and had a meeting in Haarlem, in the Netherlands, right outside of Amsterdam in Haarlem. And Jeff Kruschel, who ran the program, born Canadian, coach for the Blue Jays, him and my boss at the time, Donovan, were all, you know, close and knew each other. So they had asked me, and the next thing I knew, I was over there working. And my first assignment was in Prague, Czech Republic. And never been to Europe before. Figured, you know, I have a late flight, I'll just sleep on the plane. Didn't sleep on the plane. And grew a bit of insomnia for the first week, which I still feel like I still have. So, it was just an experience all in itself. And that's kind of how I got involved. It was just basic connection from Donovan and Jeff Kruschel, who ran the program.
So you worked it over the course of 3 years. We were talking off camera, and you were at a bunch of different places. Was your role different at each place, or was it kind of the same thing? Like, were you the only strength coach at each place you went to, or were there strength coaches there that you were helping, or was it kind of a combination of both?
Yeah, it was a combination of both. The biggest three baseball countries in Europe, I would say number one is the Netherlands, Holland. They have a pretty good program. Scott Weberg helped develop that program from really, you know, grassroots kind of deal. And then Italy, the Italian programs up there, along with the Germans, the Regensburg Academy. I spent quite a bit of time there in over three winters working with Stefan Mueller, who's their strength coach. He ran the weight room sessions, and I ran the movement based sessions. So in Germany, I was assisting the strength and conditioning program. But each country has its own kind of unique style of coaching baseball athletes. So for me, I went in to kind of analyze what they were doing initially and met up with the whole staff and just, broke it down to them and said, if ultimately we're trying to prepare these athletes for professional baseball, let's try to see if we can mimic a daily schedule, in professional baseball. So work capacity was pretty important, trying to establish work capacity with these athletes. The Germans were far more physical than any other country that I've encountered. In Germany, I assisted the strength and conditioning program with Stefan Mueller. In the Czech Republic, it was more of analyzing the systems that they already had in place for training and helping them with deciding on, which program is the best for their athletes and for the size and the available equipment that they had. So Germans typically have a little bit more available resources than, say, athletes in the Czech Republic, mainly just establishing a body weight approach program for these athletes in the Czech Republic. That was my main focus on that, something that they could leave with when I leave, they could have something to work off from for years and years. So that was a bit different than the German Academy. And then I also spent time in Holland when Scott Weberg was told that he got the assistant coordinating position. He had to step out, and I stepped in and assisted that program with their strength coach over there, which that's a totally different program than any other program. They're more into the Franz Bosch method of training. So each country had its own kind of different way, different system of approaching how to train the baseball athlete, which I found kind of cool because it opened up my eyes to it's not just lifting weights. It's more than just lifting weights. It's, when I was in Germany, they had a bunch of all this old equipment, and I said, we got to use this stuff, like rings and ropes and, so we were climbing ropes, we were hanging off rings. We were doing just a lot of old school type gymnastic movements, that you would see in like an old gymnasium, like we've seen on the slides in winter meetings, stuff like that. So we collaborated and just, said, let's give this a try. We didn't really know what it would look like or how the athletes responded. We just wanted to see what it would look like. And believe it or not, it just started to turn the wheel a little bit more and got our brains around, hey, we could use a lot of these old school methods for things that we're trying to get at in baseball, mobility, stability, a lot of these things that were kind of old school methods of way of thinking that we try to bring them back and understand it.
Yeah, I got you. It's cool that you got to see all the different countries and kind of the differences between the programs. So what did you learn while you were there that you brought back with you to the Blue Jays now that has helped you become a better coach in professional baseball?
Yeah, I think just having a multidisciplinary approach to it helps, because you're going to have different athletes coming to you at different levels asking you about X program, CrossFit or powerlifting or weightlifting. I think you just have to educate them on what's the best program for them. For that individual, if you can understand all those realms, you're going to be a better coach. not saying that you have to implement it, but it is your job to give them the best available resources, you know, for their professional career. So I think that's kind of what helped me, is it opened up my eyes to more than just, like I said, lifting weights. You know, it could be breathing. In Germany, we had access to a hall, a very, very, and Rob Fumagalli can tell you, this military hall didn't have any hide, like it was an ice box. We called it the ice box. So we get in there and we start running around, and I mean, the next thing, 30 minutes later, we're finally, you know, our bodies are heated up because it's so cold in there. So we said, we might as well just train outside. Let's just go outside and run around outside. So we said, screw the hall. Let's just go. We'll go condition outside. And that's when we really started to focus on breathing, just basic breathing patterns. And we tell them, hey, try to have the same tempo of breathing throughout this whole conditioning session. So it, you know, would we do that in the U.S.? I don't know if we'd have enough time to actually implement those things, but it was just something different.
Yeah, being able to be well-rounded and have those conversations with athletes is pretty vital, because it's going to come up eventually, right? They're going to ask you about so-and-so and can I do this instead of this, and if you're well-educated in it, you can share your information with them. So that's really good, man. I've had a few people on here who have done the MLB International, and I have to ask. I asked them, "What kind of sightseeing did you do while you were there?" You got 3 years of it and a lot of different countries, so I'm sure you saw a bunch. Go ahead, tell me some about that.
I think the one of the coolest things I ever did is rent a car and drive on the Autobahn, and I rented a Mercedes C-Class. And just ripped it all the way to the mountains up in the Swiss Alps. Snowboarded down there, which was kind of scary. Really didn't snowboard, just kind of put the brakes on the whole time. But yeah, I've always kind of been interested in just solo man missions. And I would just get a car and I would just go somewhere. And if I got lost, it's not a big deal. That was kind of cool. I met a nice girl over there, a Czech lady who was into the DNS program. So we traveled quite a bit for 3 years over there together. We traveled all over Austria. Went to Holland quite a bit, up into Rotterdam, which they have some of the best coffee. Yeah, I mean, there was just so much. I ended up traveling to 13 different countries, so it's kind of hard for me to narrow it down and say, yeah, this was kind of the best place. Obviously, the Colosseum in Rome is one of my favorites. I could go on and on. I don't know how long.
No, man, that's awesome to hear, and it's cool that the solo man adventures. I like that. Just first time in Europe, just don't care if you get lost. That's probably the best way to explore it, honestly.
Yeah, and believe it or not, they did give us quite a bit of time off on the weekend. So, you know, there'd be weekends where I just felt like being by myself, and I would go up in the mountains and grab a bike and, you know, hike through the mountains for a day. Yeah, there's just I could go on and on.
Yeah, the guys that I've talked to, they did specifically mention they had a lot of free time on the weekends, and they definitely took advantage of it. They were not just hanging out in their hotel room or whatever. They were out exploring. So that's one of the perks of going out there for the job, which is cool.
Yeah. Very, very fortunate to have that opportunity. Very fortunate.
For sure, man. For sure. So transitioning a little bit, you've won Strength and Conditioning Coach of the Year two times, 2013 and 2014. So first, congrats on that. I've had a few other guys on here that have won, and I always say, you know, it's an award voted on by your peers. So clearly you're doing something right. So what is it that you're doing that makes you specifically so successful?
I think those 2 years were rigged there back to back. But yeah, I think it's, I've always appreciated, just talking to other people. You know, I'm a kind of a people person. I could talk, you know, it didn't have to be strength and conditioning. It just could have been about life, but I always like, you know, meeting people. So I would just talk to the other strength coach on the other affiliates and, you know, we'd go grab a beer, we'd go work out together in the morning, whatever it may be. We could have a couple beers and then see how strong we are in the morning, you know, stuff like that. But yeah, I think that's kind of how it all kind of unwound itself, was just communicating and collaborating with other coaches on their methods and their thought process and, you know, what their hobbies are. And hey, if we found out that we both enjoyed fishing, we'd go fishing, you know, stuff like that.
I'm into to lobster rolls and lifting. So when you're in Portland, we'll get both of those. Lobster rolls and lifting. We'll get into that when you're out in Portland this season. So kind of along those lines, what do you believe makes a strength and conditioning coach successful in general, just in the big picture?
Definitely being enthusiastic and being a people person. I think if you're good around people and have an open mind about coaching and just in general in life, I think that goes a long way. Having an eclectic approach, that's the word, that's always going to help as well, because it's a very diverse population of athletes that we're dealing with. Yeah, I think those key points there are what makes a good strength coach.
For sure, man. For sure. So I'm interested to hear what you got on this one. What do you believe within strength and conditioning that others think you are crazy for believing?
Oh, numerous things. what about, this is what I'm thinking for plyometric training, is spring loaded floors like you'd see in gymnastics. That's kind of out there, but I'm just talking one lane, you know, just a one lane install. It could be, you know, 3 feet wide, 10 yards. That's all I need, 10 yards. That's kind of out there, but yeah, I'm open-minded to it, and I think it'd be good in a rehab setting. I've seen it done in basketball. So there's got to be some sort of, you know, importance behind, maybe it speeds up the recovery process. That's kind of out there with my thought process. Rings, hanging on rings, kind of out there. What else? Barefoot running, or just movements in general, barefoot.
You got a lot of them. You got anything else? Because this is awesome. You're just rambling off a bunch of good ones.
I got a ton of stuff. Is rope climbing kind of out there?
Could be. I mean, I'm into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got a rope we can climb together in Portland at the gym. So we'll do some rope climbing and some barefoot running around the city, and then get some lobster rolls for for our post-lift meal.
That's a great day right there.
So what advice do you have for others in the field?
Oh, I think obviously if you can challenge yourself with speaking the Spanish language, that goes a long way. Long way. Because I wanna communicate to these Latin players so much, but it's hard to communicate when you fully don't understand their language. So that, you know, be patient with it though, because it does take time. You're going to be dealing with, you know, numerous different cultures of Spanish, where to them one word may mean something totally different. And a lot of slang. So yeah, just be patient with the Spanish language. Also, you know, some good advice that you know, understanding the game of baseball, and if you didn't play, that's okay. But, you know, respecting the game, having feel for the game is important.
Yeah, I agree completely, man. The Spanish, like you said, there's a lot of different dialects that come in baseball. So you do really have to be patient with it, because like myself, I'm trying to learn it and then I'll bring something to a player and they'll be like, what are you talking about? We don't speak that way in our country. And I'm like, it's a frustrating process, but I'm right there with you on that one. And then understanding the game of baseball is huge. At the end of the day, these guys are ball players first, and we still need to respect that. And I know we want them to get their work in, but at the same time, like you said, having feel goes a long way. So two really good points there.
Yeah, for sure.
So where do you go for continuing ed? Are you reading books, listening to podcasts? Are you attending seminars? Are you doing something like way out in left field, like your training thoughts, or are you pretty conventional?
I do, in the off season, I do quite a bit of reading, trying to rifle through just a ton of books. But, you know, in season, I do more of just conversation with coaches over Skype or just a phone text or a phone call. But, you know, as you know, there's not a whole lot of time to do those things. So you have to be diligent with your time management, and you have to plan it out ahead of time. I've read a lot of good books so far this off season. But I'm really trying to focus on that Spanish language. So I'm, you know, spending a lot of time just conversing with the players down here. You know, going to the city, sitting at a cafe, listening to people talk helps me. So that's how I kind of, you know, educate myself throughout a whole year. I can't read books in season. There's just too much stuff going on.
You'll have long bus rides this year. That might change your mind a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, man, that's really good. I'm a big believer in trying to better yourself. And usually, you know, people kind of default to, I read books or whatever. But, you know, if you can learn the language of Spanish, again, we've talked about it a couple of times, but being able to communicate with Latin players is so important in baseball. And it's such a big part of baseball that you are making yourself better by learning the language. So kudos to you on that one. I know you are in the DR and you might want to go explore, but if you have time, I'd like to do a lightning round. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, we have all the time in the world.
Perfect. I don't know if I need all the time, but just a little bit of the time. All right, so four questions. First one, who is your biggest influence in the strength and conditioning field?
Donovan Santos.
That's your head guy, right, with the Blue Jays?
Yeah. Okay. He hired me. So I gotta, you know, give very fortunate to have, you know, he gave me that opportunity. So
I was expecting a small Matt Nine shout out. I'll let him know that you stiffed him on this one.
Well, yeah, you know, he also let me know about the job. So it may be a close tie, but I still had to get the job.
True.
Yeah.
All right, I'll let you slip on that one then. All right, one piece of equipment to train with, what would it be?
Rings.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was expecting that or the spring loaded floor. So.
Yeah, I gotta get a good quick install for that.
Third one, biggest accomplishment professionally and or personally.
Oh, squatting 500 pounds.
500 pound squat. You're the first person to bring up any lifting stats, and that's awesome. Okay.
That's kind of meatheadish, but we're strength coaches, so that's cool.
Yeah, that's I'm all for that one. Last one, any career other than strength and conditioning, what would you choose?
Oh, that's a good one. I'd probably say somewhere in the Canadian Forces. I don't know where they would put me. Maybe lock me up in the closet, but I would like to have a gun on me and fight for my country. That'd be cool.
Canada's supposed to be like super peaceful, though, isn't it? That's at least that's in Buffalo. That's what they say about the people of Toronto. They're so much more nicer up there.
We're front line for you guys. So last time I checked, we're in the front line for the U.S. So I think we're in good shape.
Oh, man. All right, man. It's been awesome. Ton of good laughs, ton of good information. If the listeners want to get more from you, where can we get more from you? Are you on social media?
I do not have any social media except for Snapchat, but I don't even know what my Snapchat is. Okay. But no, just email my first name, Ryan, R-Y-A-N, dot my last name, Maydel, M-A-E-D-E-L, at bluejays.com.
Okay.
Reach me there. Any questions about how we go about our business from day to day, or if you want to talk about spring-loaded floors, we can do that.
Perfect, man. Well, I appreciate your time, and we'll be in touch soon.
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks for having me, and we'll talk soon.
All right, everybody. That concludes our episode with Ryan. I hope you enjoyed this one. He shared a lot of good information about his time in Europe and about his thoughts on training. Three things that I took from Ryan: be enthusiastic, try to meet new people, and understand that lifting weights is not the only way to make your athletes better. With that being said, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll talk to you again on the next one.